Good evening. Thanks, FH. It is good to be with you. There's about five or six of us here tonight, and appreciate everybody that's joining in via the live stream. And as Ray said earlier, we're certainly grateful to have that particular avenue to be able to still carry on with some semblance of worship service from this place, and to at least have a common thing that we can all be sharing together on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday nights. When you're called to speak, and I think this applies for people who are full-time preachers as well as those like myself who fill in from time to time when asked to do so, you pull from people that you know. You pull from sources you've heard in terms of ideas, styles, delivery, things like that. There are certain phrases that I use almost every time I speak that come from the ministers that I heard growing up, and some of them that I heard for several decades growing up. So it's you always borrow from those, and tonight I'm going to do just that. I'm going to borrow something. I like to give credit. I'm going to borrow an idea from Randy Medlin. He's the pulpit minister at the University Church of Christ in Montgomery, Alabama. The first Sunday in each month, he delivers a sermon, and it's entitled Fundamental Sunday. That's the overall theme, and what he does is go back and revisit ideas that are fundamental to the faith, fundamental to Christianity, some sort of principle, some sort of guiding thing that is absolutely key to the faith. And tonight we're going to do that. We're going to go and we're going to look at something that is indeed fundamental to the faith. If you can't guess what it is, it's on the screen right behind me. It's prayer. We're going to talk about prayer. And prayer is an activity that is absolutely essential to the faith. And I don't think anyone who has been in Christianity more than 10 seconds we'll tell you otherwise. It is absolutely fundamental. Probably not going to break a whole lot of new ground for anybody tonight, but it's my aim and my goal that the things that we say, the points that are made, that they will help maybe refresh our memory a little bit, that they'll bring us back to some of the base principles and serve as a good reminder as we go throughout the days and weeks and months ahead, especially during the trying times, the tumultuous times that we are in. I won't begin tonight. Those of you who have heard me speak before know I like to do definitions. So let's start tonight with the definition. Prayer defined. If you just look it up in the dictionary, you're going to see something that looks like this. An earnest hope or wish. A solemn request for help. Certain areas, you may even see it on court documents that come up. It'll say so-and-so is praying for relief, or we pray this court do, et cetera, et cetera. And in that one, what it is usually there's some sort of request, some sort of action that the requesting party is seeking. Well, for our terms, Christianity in that context, prayer refers to communicating with God, communicating with the Almighty, engaging in conversation on our end with God, making prayers, making requests to Him, speaking to Him. Sometimes these are going to be requests or things that we're wanting to see happen, things that we would like God to take care of. Sometimes they're going to be prayers of thanks. Us looking at it going, you know what, God, we prayed about this, or something happened that was beneficial, and this has been a good thing, and we want to thank you for it. Or even maybe a trial that's come up, but that enabled you to see some other blessing or what have you. And you're able to go back and say, thank you. And with most things, and I know this is certainly the case in my life, a lot of times my prayers, my communications to God are a combination of requests and thanks. They're usually filled with things that I am thankful for, but also things that I want to see happen, things that I am curious about, making sure that my life is being conducted and that I am doing things in accordance with His will. You know, the world around us is crazy right now. There's so much turmoil and every time you think that 2020 can't get any crazier, you turn on the news and guess what? It just did. Something else happened. Something else crazy is going on in the world. You know, a friend of mine and I were talking about the SEC football schedule that's going to be coming up here in a few days, and where it's going to be just exclusively conference play. And we both agreed, I grew up cheering for Vanderbilt football, and we both agreed that it could be a really hard season for Vanderbilt because they're going to be in all-conference play. He said, man, that's going to be brutal. I said, yeah, it could be brutal, but it's also 2020, so it may be a good idea to get some tickets to the conference championship if you're a Vanderbilt fan. Just crazier things have happened. And this year, again, 2020, who knows? But with all that turmoil, with all that craziness going on around us, it's even more opportune of a time right now to revisit prayer, to look at some of the base elements of prayer, some of just the fundamental aspects of it. You know, it's time for us to cling even more tightly to the rock that is higher than we are, to God Almighty, to His Word, to our faith in Him. And if we're going to do that, we better be staying in communication with God. And tonight we're going to look at a few points about prayer, just to make sure that our prayer life is growing and staying strong, not becoming stagnant or becoming weaker. So I want to begin with this idea that prayer is important and necessary. If you have been a Christian more than 5 minutes, you just looked at me and said, well, duh, we knew that. But it is. Let's think about that. Prayer is important and necessary. We all know that. And if you poll anybody in church anywhere, they will tell you that right off the bat. If you ask them, is it true prayer is important and necessary, they will say, yes, absolutely it is. But do we treat it that way? Do our actions, do our words, do the things that we do, do they show that prayer is important to us? You know, do we treat our prayer life with the importance that it should have, the importance and the necessity that it merits? You know, again, this is our avenue to communicate with the Father, literally to talk to the Creator of heaven, of earth, of everything that we see around us. Do we treat it with the importance that it merits? Do we remember to, if you will, check in? You know, to drive home the importance of this a little bit, F.H. read just a little bit earlier from Luke chapter 11. Prayer is so important that the Jesus' followers there ask Him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how we should pray. They even indicated in that same section of Scripture that John's followers, John the Baptizer's followers, had even posed that same question to him seeking guidance. So clearly, the example of the New Testament is that prayer is important, that people wanted to know how they were to pray and to make sure that they were praying correctly and praying in the right manner. These people saw that prayer was important, and church, we have to believe that too. We have to understand its importance. Let me tell you about my grandparents, and I'm going to call two of them out now, one on each side. My dad's dad, my mom's mom. They were both very big on the idea of checking in daily. I'm talking about in an era before cell phones, before text messaging, Facebook, any of that other stuff. For one, my mom's mom, I had to operate her DVD player for her. There was never a computer in that house, to my knowledge. And when I say that, I mean not even the one the grandkids brought in. She didn't do technology. She had her TV. That was it. So we're talking the days when it was just landline telephones. But they were both, these two particular grandparents, were both very into the idea of checking in. They had to hear from their kids once a day. Now, mind you, their kids were grown by and large. They still had to hear from them. And if they had not heard from them by a certain point in the day, they were calling the house. I can't tell you how many times, you know, my mother... phone would ring at our house, and my grandmother would be on the other line. Well, we just hadn't heard from y'all today, and I wanted to make sure you were all right. And she had designated times that she expected people to call and check in. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was the same way. If it had hit a certain point in the day and he hadn't heard from him yet, he was calling the house. Just, hey, is everything okay? Just wanted to check in, make sure y'all were in good shape. They believed that that communication, that regular check-in was important. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm not like my grandparents were on that one. This is an area I struggle. My friends that know me, they forgive me for it, and I'm thankful for that. They know I'm not good at checking in. Usually they're the ones that have to pick up the phone or send the email, send the text, what have you. And I'll get back to them and we'll talk. But folks, that's the thing. It's important to check in with friends and family so that we can keep track of how each other are doing. And the same thing applies with our prayer life. It's important for us to be staying in that regular communication, to be checking in with God, to make sure that our prayer life is where it still needs to be, that we are still focused on Him, on His Word, and on doing His will. Because folks, the downside when you don't check in with friends or what have you is that you grow apart. There are friends of mine that I just haven't checked in with in years. Nothing was wrong. We didn't part company, mad at each other or anything like that, but time and time and time slipped away. It's been years since we've actually, seen or spoken to each other. What happens when that is what our prayer life looks like? When it goes for, it's a day or two and we haven't prayed. Or it's been a week or so or a month or so, and the next thing you know, the days, the weeks, the months, they've turned into years. As the old song says, how long has it been? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? Since you told Him your heart's hidden secrets? I remember the last line of that song, how long since you knew that He cared for you? Folks, prayer is important and necessary. It is vital to us staying strong in the faith. Another thing about prayer, let's bring this in as well. Prayer is an intentional habit. It's got to be that for the church. It has to be that for the church corporately as well as individual Christians. It has to be an intentional habit. Now let's break that down a little bit. We got two words right there we're going to define. Habit, I think we all know what a habit is. It's a regular tendency or a practice. Dictionary indicated that it would even go so far as to include that as one that's hard to give up. Practice that's difficult or challenging to give up. Think about Daniel in the Old Testament, particularly in chapter 6, verses 4 through 13 right there. Daniel's prayer habits are actually what get him in a little bit, they get him in a lot of trouble with the rulers at the time. Daniel, as you'll recall, was a Jewish captive in Babylon. And then as Babylon became part of the Medo-Persian Empire, he's well-respected. Really elevates himself amongst the leadership there and is even an advisor to several of the rulers, kings, emperors that they will have. But you remember what the text says there about Daniel's prayer habits. It was well known that he went and prayed at least 3 times a day. And his enemies, when they wanted to see him in a downfall, they wanted to see him trapped, they have the Darius execute some sort of decree that says nobody can pray to any god or ask any petition of anyone except the king for 30 days. And they know good and well Daniel's going to go back to his home, that he's going to pray, and they catch him in the act. And that eventually results in Daniel being thrown in the lion's den and the other accounts that emerge from there where God keeps the lion's mouth shut. And then when they go to the next morning, they see Daniel is still alive, and the people who set him up are actually the ones who get thrown into the lion's den instead. But think about Daniel's prayer habits. He is known. He is a person that we have in the Old Testament who is known and noted for his prayer habits. We all have different habits. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. And they all require different degrees of mental focus. And let me elaborate a little on what I mean there. Like a lot of other people, I use my cell phone for an alarm clock. And so what usually happens when it goes off, after I've hit the snooze for maybe the third, fourth time, what I'll do is I'll pick it up and I check my emails, check the news headlines, check the sports headlines, check the weather. Some combination of those four things. I'm not even thinking about it when I do it. I just roll over, look at it, pick it up, and go through it. I do it out of habit. There's no thought involved. It's almost muscle memory. It is completely mindless activity. But folks, prayer cannot be a mindless activity. It's got to be something that we are intensely concentrated on. And that's where we're going to get into this intentional work. Intentional describes a person's state of mind, where they're at mentally with what they're doing, their focus. And it is to have an explicit stated goal in mind that you are seeking to accomplish. Something that you have purposed in your mind that you are focused on, that I am here to achieve this, whatever it may be. Let me give you a little bit of an example on this that I hope is humorous to you. But there is a donut shop in Murfreesboro on Highway 231, about 2 miles from MTSU's campus. Donut Country. I love to go there. Developed that love when I was in college. If I go to Murfreesboro, I do my best to stop at Donut Country. When I pull into that parking lot and I throw my car and park, I have the express intention, the explicit mindset that I am going into that store and I'm going to buy a donut. Now, I don't necessarily know what kind of donut it's going to be, but I'm going to get a donut. And it's probably going to be more than one. If I'm exercising self-control, it's a half dozen. Fortunately, I do have family to share those with, so I'm not completely KO in the half dozen by myself. But you get where I'm going. Folks, our prayer life needs to be like that. It's got to be intentional. We've got to have our mindset on it, our focus on it. It's communicating with the Father because we mean to. Not this situation where we're going, well, I've got a few minutes. I guess I'll stop and pray for a second. No. It needs to actually be something that is set out where we're going, you know what? I've got something I need to talk to God about. I've got something I need to be thankful for, some request, some concern that I have, and I'm going to actually take the time to specifically focus and think about that. Prayer's not something to multitask on. It's something where we need to be able to put our undivided attention on that conversation that we are having with God. Something that we are really, really and truly focused in and thinking about what we're saying, what we're doing. And folks, it's got to be offered sincerely. Prayer's got to be offered sincerely. It should proceed from some sort of genuine point that we want to make. Some sort of genuine emotion or thought, spiritual thing that we have on our heart. Luke 18, 9 through 14, you'll recall there that the point of it should not be offered hypocritically or for show, but instead out of sincere reverence to God. Let's actually take a look at that passage, if you will. Luke chapter 18, if you have your Bible. Turn there with me, Luke 18. And we'll begin in verse 9. The text they're writing, it says, Jesus, that's who it's speaking to, he told the parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. It says, two men went up in the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. It says, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Folks, prayer is not about us doing a roll call for God of everything we think we've achieved, of every great thing that we think we are, or of everything that we think we're better than somebody else about. No. Prayer is about humbling ourselves before Him, being sincerely grateful for His grace and His mercy and His love, and to genuinely reach out before Him and say, Father, thank You for these things. I need help with these things. Please help me. The other point we want to make, too, is that prayer is dependent on faith. That sort of is implied, but it is faith dependent. And it's faith in a few different things. Faith, one, that God is living and involved in our daily life. You know, we may overlook that sometimes, but that's not just idle words. Think for a moment about the things that you have to have faith in when you pray. We have to have faith that God is living and involved in our daily life. Otherwise, as the old song says, we might as well be talking to a wall. But we know that God is active, that He is living, that He is working on our behalf at all times. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, says, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. And when we pray to a God who listens. We pray to the living God who listens and is responsive to us. Turn with me, if you will, to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18. This is going to be an account that's familiar to most of you. Elijah is there doing battle, if you will, against the prophets of Baal. He's challenged them. They've come out and they built an altar to Baal. And he says, okay, get his attention. They've gone around all day. They petitioned Baal all day long. They've cried out. They've danced. They've cut themselves. They've limped around the altar that they made to Baal. Nothing happens. Not a thing. Even the text even records that Elijah actually mocks them, asking if he's asleep or away. But then we get to verse 36, chapter 18. And it says, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that You are God in Israel, and that I am Your servant, and that I have done all these things at Your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that You, O Lord, are God, and that You have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. All day long, prophets of Baal have asked and petitioned and nothing. Elijah asks once, God responds. Folks, we have a God who is responsive to our prayers, and amen on that. And thank goodness that He is. He is living and active, and He hears our prayers. And we must also have faith that God will answer our prayers, that God will indeed provide a response to us. Scripture is filled with accounts of answered prayers, of people who petition God for things, and the requests were granted. In some cases, it took a long time. In some cases, it was a pretty quick turnaround time. But in all cases, the prayers were answered. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Folks, all of these accounts that we have, Jacob, Samson, Hannah, Abraham's servant that we're going to talk more about on Wednesday night, Lord willing, many, many more. These people prayed to God in faith that He would respond, and He did. God answers their prayers. And folks, we shouldn't be surprised that he answers. Oh, we may be surprised at the timing. We may be surprised at how the answer unfolds. But we should never be surprised that he answers, because we know he will. So we should expect an answer. But let's take a look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Let's take a look there and see an example of the early church and what they thought about an answer to their prayers. I want to set the scene a little bit in the first five verses. King Herod is going through and he is on attack against the early church. He's had James, the brother of John, killed, and he's arrested and imprisoned Peter. And let's pick up in the text there at verse 5. It says, "So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church." Verse 6, "Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains and sentries before the door regarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Dress yourself and put on your sandals.' And he did so. And he said to him, 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me.' And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him." Verse 11, "When Peter came to himself, he said, 'Now I am sure that the Lord has sent an angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting.' And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, 'You are out of your mind.' But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, 'Is it his angel?' But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him, and they were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Tell these things to James and to the brothers.' And then he departed and went to another place." The church had gathered there to pray fervently for Peter, to pray for his safety, for his rescue. And it happens. And what is their reaction? They're in disbelief. They're in shock. They can't believe what they're seeing. But folks, it happened. Their prayer was answered. And I've seen a lot of people who, from time to time, will criticize that group in the early church, that they were so shocked and surprised to see Peter standing there, shocked that their prayers had been answered. But folks, would any of us have been in any different of a response if we were in that position? I don't know that I would have been. I really don't. But if we believe in a God that is living and involved, that hears our prayers, then we have to believe and expect answers from God. And it is just that simple. I'm going to quote another old hymn here. It's 124 in our books. If you have a copy of Praise for the Lord at home, you can see it there. If not, it's one that will probably be familiar to you, but the name of it is, "Did You Think to Pray?" And I want to read just a couple of stanzas from that one. You know, the world is crazy right now. It's 2020. So much is going on. So much turmoil. So much strife. So much trouble. But recall the words of that hymn when it says, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today?" And the fourth stanza, "When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. What a lesson that is for all of us. To remember to pray. When things are going crazy, when it seems like we're losing control, did we ever stop and think to pray? Prayer is the strongest weapon in our arsenal. It's the best tool that we have in our belt. In the early to mid-1950s, I can't recall the exact year, the Leuven Brothers had a song, and it's one of my favorites, called Weapon of Prayer. And the song was written on the heels of the Korean conflict, with an emphasis clearly to what was going on over there. And the theme of the song was that while they were not able to be physically present in the situation, the people singing the song were saying, you know, we're not able to be there right now, but we can be in prayer. That we have the weapon of prayer as our tool. Too many times, we will be wringing our hands with worry and concern about something that we really can't do anything about. We don't have any physical control over. We're humans. Humans have a fix-it nature to us, especially men. If there's a problem, we fix it. We want to know what we can do to fix it. I mean, how many of us, you know, something's squeaking, we go find the WD-40. Something's broke, we go find the duct tape. We're going to figure out a way to fix it. But what happens when there are things that it's literally out of our control to fix, out of our control to handle, to do? Too many times we say with almost this regretful tone that, well, all I can do is pray about it. But folks, that's really the right answer in the wrong tone. The right answer, but a completely awful tone. We should instead be saying, you know what, I'll pray about it, and use that as a confident tone. Why? Because prayer is the strongest tool in our belt, because it is what makes the difference. It is us approaching the throne of God and say, God, I can't handle this by myself. I can't fix this problem by myself. I can't resolve this on my own. Please do something about it. And when we do that, we get peace, because we know that we put it in God's hands and we have faith that He will hear the prayer, and that He will answer it, and that somehow or another, even if the answer is not the one we were looking for, that we will still be blessed through His answer and through His response. So folks, I hope tonight the things that we've discussed, the remarks that have been made, have reminded us of the importance and the necessity of prayer. That we as Christians must make prayer our intentional habit, and that our prayers depend upon our faith. Our faith in a living God who is listening, who is involved in our lives, and who will answer. Tonight it may be that you've been having a rough time, and that you need the prayers of the church. We're going to flash a number up on the screen here in a little bit that will have a number that you can call or text. Reach out to, and we will get you. We will be glad to pray for you, pray about your situation, pray with you. It may be tonight the case that you've been studying for some time and that you want to know more. Well, please call that number, text it. Let us know that you want to know more. Come by the church office. We'll be glad to help you, to get somebody to study with you, to baptize you if you're ready for that. We have the baptistry open. We'll be glad to add to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins so that you can be added to the Lord's church. And folks, it may be that just some things have been hard. You were baptized some time ago. You've been a faithful member of the church, but you've just fallen away. But you said, you know what, I'm going to be better about that. And you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Well, folks, we can pray with you, help you out with that too. Whatever your need may be, please reach out to that number that you're going to see on the screen, and we will be glad to assist you in any way we can.